You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The book of Nehemiah, my favorite book in the Old Testament, Nehemiah. Kids, you're all up here now. What a great crowd of teenagers. Thank God for you. Let's shut the cell phones off and let's stay right in church now for about the next 30 minutes. I'm not a long-winded preacher. In fact, the older I'm getting, the shorter I'm getting. Most time to get older, you get long-winded. But I can say it all in just a short amount of time. I appreciate God's people. Amen. This last week was a great week for our church with our stewardship and missions conference. And the place was packed, pardon me, every night, and a great crowd, great spirit, great missionaries, and I praise God for all of them. I thank God for you, that you have a heart for worldwide missions. Amen. One of the men at prayer last night said, God's blessing our church in so many areas. I wonder it's because we're, Brother Mark, I think, mentioned that, because we're giving so much to worldwide missions. Amen. And God bless you, that may be true. God wants to give back to us. You cannot outgive God. My wife and I have proven that. You just can't outgive God. Well, today I'm in the book of Nehemiah. I want to read to you verses 1 through 4. I'll read the even verses. You read the odd verses. I'll read the odd verses. You read the even verses. So you read 2 and 4. I'll read 1 and 3. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, and they said unto me, the remnant are there left in the captivity there in the province of our great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, I think we know this story, that Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king in a foreign land. He had been a captive. And he would taste the king's wine, he'd taste the king's drink, he'd eat his food, and if he did not die, they knew it was good for the king. But a good relationship developed between Nehemiah and this wicked king. And he had a heart for Nehemiah. Now the war was over and the battle was over, and he got word from Hananiah and his brethren. He said, the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. Cities in that era had to have walls around the city to protect from prey, wild animals, and from foreign enemies. They would put, some of these walls were so high that they could put horse chariot races on top of the walls, and they would watch those. They were big, they were massive. And the Bible says that when he heard that the walls of the city were broken down, he did five things. He sat down, he wept, he fasted, he mourned, and he prayed. I wonder in your life, and here's where I'm going today. What's broken in your life? Everybody that's sitting under the sound of my voice today, and those that are listening, everyone has something broken in their life. Amen. I might be wrong. I'm not sure. There may be 100,000 people watching this service right now. Every one of them has something broken in their life. I have some things that are broken in my life. I've pastored this church 50 years. It's a long time. I remember Bobby Robertson got 50. I called him. I said, Brother Bobby, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out, isn't it? He said, Brother Treiber, I'm in the midst of the hardest moments of my life right now. I can tell you this. I love you people more than I love my life. I'd give my life for you. I believe I would. I love our church. I want to stay here a lifetime, and as long as God gives me health and strength. But I'm telling you, after 50 years, I'm facing the hardest days of my ministry. These are the most difficult days. Look at politically what's going on in this nation. Look at what's happening in our country. People wishing their opponents running for Congress and Senate races and governors are wishing that their opponents would be killed with these two bullets. I can't believe this is happening in America. Yes. I can't believe it, Brother Everson. You've given so much of your time to Sacramento. And I just can't believe that we think that way. Yeah. I can't believe that the largest city in America is going to vote in a socialist, a communist. It looks like he's going to win. He wants to federalize the grocery stores. He wants to get rid of the police department and have social workers. The largest city in our country. I can't believe what's happening. I can't believe our public schools are war zones where there are fences around them and police. I can't believe that our prisons are being so filled. Jerry Whitlow, one of our members, is a revival in a prison ministry today. Right now, as I'm preaching, he has permission to be in every prison in the state of California. I don't know of another man that has that right. And he'll preach. He'll have scores of people saved this morning and tonight. Amen. In the prisons where he's holding revival. 85% of those men in prison are from fatherless homes. We're a mess in America. But there's other problems. You might be sitting here, your marriage is broken. Your children are broken. I think that's one of the hardest situations in life to deal with, when you watch children you gave birth to and you fathered them and you mothered them all the way through and then they're broken. They're just broken. They're crushing their lives, anti-God. I think of grandkids. I get so many letters and notes and emails in the letter every week from the radio stations. People say, my grandson is lost. My grandson's away from God. Pardon me. My grandson has no desire for God. My granddaughter just gave birth to the fifth child out of wedlock, and all five husbands are different men. I mean, some of these requests that come, please pray for my wife. She is saved, but she got away from God. She will not come to church. We've got scores of men that come alone. Are you broken over your finances? Are you broken over your health? I think of several folks in our church having surgery this week. I think of several that are on the verge of going to see our Lord in our membership. Are you brokenhearted over something today? You're brokenhearted over your finances. What has got you broken today? I want to speak today on the subject, a builder, rebuilder of broken things. God wants to rebuild your life. I'm not going to say he's not going to change the situation. He may not change the situation. But when you want God to rebuild your life, you see, I told our class this morning, my wife heard me. I have a race to run. There are 22 family members in our family now. 22. I love them all. They're all serving God. They're all pastors. Amen. They're all in church today. All of our grandkids are in church. Our married granddaughters in church. I'm grateful for all that. But I don't know if the day is going to come when one of them get out of church. And one starts teaching and preaching a different gospel. And all those things can happen. I still have a race to run. My race is not going to be determined by my children. Did you just hear what I said? My race is not determined by my heart will break. I pray for all of our children and grandchildren, all saved now. I pray for all of them that they'll live for God a lifetime. But the likelihood of that happening is very slim. This world and Satan has got a stranglehold on our children, our grandchildren. But God wants to rebuild your life. Amen. How is he going to do that? What's he going to use? What's your part in all this? I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down. I wept. I mourned. I fasted. What's the next word, class? I prayed. I prayed. Here's his prayer, verse 5. I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and the terrible, that it's amazing God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, observe my commandments. And that's one of your problems, because you say, well, I'm having these troubles because I'm not obeying all the... Stop beating yourself up. You're in church today, aren't you? You're here today, aren't you? There's something in your heart you're desiring to do right. Verse number 6, let thine ear now be attentive to thine, and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray. And he says, I have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly. Remember, I beseech thee, the word which thou commandest. And he keeps on praying. He says, O Lord, verse 11, I beseech thee, now let thine ear be attentive to my prayer. And thy servant, the prayer of thy servant, I pray thee. Chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in the month of Nisan. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it was the month of Cheslu. Cheslu is December. That's their calendar. It was December. And the month of Nisan, the month of Nisan is April. He prayed all of December, all of January, February, March, April, 5 months. He never told one person what was on his mind, but he prayed and he prayed. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. You're going to have God rebuild your life. You're going to have to become a prayer warrior. You can pray about this situation. You can weep before God. You can beg God. I have a book written on this chapter that you want to butter God up. He talks about God, the great, amazing God. Miss Treber, when we were young, she would do that to me. And she would say, oh, honey, you're so great, and you're so wonderful. And I'd say, how much money you want for that new dress? And she said, just $35. I'd give it to her. She buttered me up, you know. Well, I don't know if that really ever happened, but it's a good illustration. But, you know, all the prophets of God, when they prayed, always talked about how God is so good. Do you pray? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Near my God, did he send? He just saying, that's what I want to be, so near to God. I started pastoring in my 20s, this church, and now all those years have gone by. But I want you to know that I want to be nearer to God today than I was when I first came here. It was so fresh. It was so real. It was so young. It was so vibrant. 22 people, including the nurseries, met us. We were renting a building, and it was just such a wonderful experience. But I love church more today than I've ever loved it in my life. But I must be a prayer warrior. God's given me so many people to pray over. It overwhelms me how that in my prayer journal, I've got all these people that are sick. I looked at that sick list and praying over that sick list this week. I've got so many people that are sick. Many that don't want the church to know, but I know about it. And surgeries I know about. I looked at all the deacons that I have. God's given me 40-some deacons and their wives and their families and their children. I look at the 75 employees that I employ. And I pray for them and their mates and their children. I look at the backslidden members of our church. That's a hard page to pray over. I look at people I love and they're away from God and they quit on God. I have a page of people that I'm praying for. I know they're members and I think they love me and I love them, but I don't believe they've ever been saved. That breaks my heart. I look at the missionaries I'm responsible to pray for, the business leaders of our church I'm responsible to pray for, the widows and the widowers, and I go through all these pages and pages. I've got so much to pray about because I am so feeble, but he's so great. God's a mighty God. I think of the Bible as I read my Bible. The Bible says that in Mark 6, and Jesus departed to a mountain to pray. And if Jesus needed to go to a mountain late at night to pray, and it says Jesus rose up early before dawn and prayed, if Jesus went to prayer late at night and early in the morning, even so must I. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. You're going to have to pray. What is it that's so great in your life? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Kids, I don't know what your home life's like, but you're only going to have a happy life if you pray about your family. Your dad may not be in your life. Your mother may not be in your life. But that gives you something to pray about, and you're going to use that for his glory as a youth pastor one day and helping teenagers as a preacher of the gospel. God's going to call some of you to preach. God's going to call some of you girls to marry these men, that they'll be godly leaders in your life and they'll grow up loving God. We have the history in this church of so many that rode the buses and out serving God. God could use you, kids, but you're going to have to learn to pray. Prayer, it's been said, well, is it resorted to that? Are we in this much trouble? We got to pray. Yes, it has. Pray about everything. Daniel prayed. Jeremiah prayed. Ezekiel prayed. Isaiah prayed. David prayed. Moses prayed. Abraham prayed at Bethel. Everybody in the Bible, Job prayed. Everybody prayed. Paul prayed. The disciples prayed. Are you praying? Do you have a place of prayer? Do you have a place where you can meet God? You say, I'm brokenhearted. Well, turn to God in prayer. Amen. Brother Van Dyke, you'll remember this. I prayed, and I've said this so many times lately, but I prayed 31 years that God would give me a 15-minute radio broadcast. That's all I asked for, God. I said, give me 15 minutes a day to speak to our people. And 19 years ago this last week, on Thursday, God gave us about 100 stations in one day, and the internet and the short wave. And God gave me that 15-minute broadcast, and glory to God, in 19 years, I've never had to miss one day's broadcast. 19 years. God's been so good. I was preaching two services over at the other property. One in the morning early and then one a little bit later. We had no room. Sunday night, if you came, you knew. If you weren't at the second service, you couldn't lay your Bible, your things down, so you knew you were going to be in other rooms. You weren't even going to be in the auditorium. Did that for 15 years. I pray, oh God, give us a... I prayed for a 3,000 seat, and it's just 3,000 seats. But it took us 31 years to pray for it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and God did it. I can't answer why God doesn't answer some prayers. I can't answer that for you. I don't understand it when God doesn't answer prayer, but God is always answering prayer. And God allows things in our life that we might bend our knee. I guarantee it, when you're broken, you bend your knee a lot more to God and you pray a lot more to God than it, other times of your life. I promise you that. If I'm going to have God rebuild my life, I'm going to have to use the avenue of prayer. Amen. Prayer. The second thing I'm going to have to, I have to stay in the battle. Chapter 2, verse number 10. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard it, it grieved them exceedingly. There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. In chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 6, these men oppressed. They oppressed Nehemiah. They tried to detente with them. They tried to negotiate with them. They passed laws against them. And they stopped the project. And they got it going again. And then they set up a fox. They made ridicule them. They tried every avenue to stop them. But I want you to know that Nehemiah said, I'm not stopping. I don't know what it's going to take to stop you. I've pastored more people that are not here today than those that are here. I baptized 20,000 people. They're members of our church. We've had 1.6 million riders on those buses, but we don't have 1.6 million today in church. Many are out in the ministry. Many are serving God as pastors. 39 men that sat right next to me on this platform are pastors of churches today. But I've lost more than I ever gained. I was pondering this week all the people back from the 70s, just pondering their lives and what happened to them, what's going on in their life. I tell you, I walk away from a prayer time like that sort of depressed, discouraged. Because in life you lose more than you gain. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know what obstacles you're facing, but you're going to have to fight them. Finish your course with joy. Amen. Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He was in his late 60s. He had served God his life. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's the key, to finish the course. And he finished with joy, knowing that his head was going to be severed any day off of his body. You've got to stay in the race, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard the story from this pulpit. I've told it on two or three occasions in 50 years. A young man that had trained and trained and trained for the Olympics. And he finally made it to the Olympics and he ran. While I was running, a runner in the other lane crossed over and stumbled him up on the last leg, last turn, and stumbled him up, and he went sprawling and cut up and wounded and bruised and battered and broken. He's now last place. He lay there, breathing in pain. He got himself up and he started to hobble. The crowd was applauding the first place winner. But all of a sudden their attention turned to this boy that was limping and dragging his leg. Because there's the finish line. He'd stop, and a man came and put his arm. He shoved him away, and then he heard the voice. It was his dad. He said, son, I'll finish the race with you. And our Lord wants to finish the race with you. Amen. The crowd stood to their feet. They applauded him because of the fact that this dad and this son were finished the race. Amen. God giving you a race. Would you please finish it? You're addicted to drugs today. You're just addicted to alcohol today. You're addicted to pornography today. The only hope you have is God.
Amen.
Turn to Him in prayer. And then fight the devil with all you have. Thirdly here, the Bible says that he analyzed the situation. Chapter 11, I'm almost done. Chapter 2, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem there 3 days. I rose in the night, some few men with me. Neither told any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. I went and viewed the walls, verse 13. Verse 15, I viewed the walls. He analyzed. Don't blame other people. Don't blame this church on your rebellious position in life. Don't blame Christianity on the fact that your dad left you. Don't attack other people because your mom or dad have passed away. Don't blame anybody. Don't attack anybody. But analyze, what do I need to do? He viewed the walls. What do I need to do to put this thing back together? And lastly, and we'll be done today, I want you to see in verse 2 through 17, enlist help. Verse 17, then said, I see you, the stress that we're in, now that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall. He's asking, will you help me? And I told him, the hand of my God was just good upon me. The king's words that he had spoken to me. They said, here's what they said, let us rise up and build. Amen. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. This church, like no other church, in my estimation, is filled with godly people. You have godly deacons in this church you've given to me. They're godly men. All my 40 deacons have 44 families that they're responsible for. They pray for you. They may not even know you, but they pray for you. They're there for you. We take an inventory every month at deacons meeting. How'd you do on your under shepherds? Every family is prayed for. Every family's children are prayed for. Every need is prayed for. I have such amazing staff, not only these men that are here, but all through the church and the ministries and the other properties that love God. They're so burdened for you. They'll pray for you if they know how to pray and what to pray for. We have so many virtuous women in this church, enormous amount of virtuous women that are godly prayer warriors. If you'll enlist their prayer support, they'll pray for you. We don't need to know all the stories. Pastor, I want to confess this. You know, you don't need to tell me all these things. I mean, if it's a crime, I've got to report it. You know that. But if it's not a crime, ladies and gentlemen, I don't need to know everything. Just write me a note, put your name on it, say, please pray for me. You could put what you want me to pray about if you want, but you don't have to. I don't need to know all the ori-gori details of everything. But I do need to know that this member is requesting prayer. They're sheep of my pasture. I'm responsible for these sheep. What's broken, I ask the question again, in your life? What is so broken that only God can heal your wounded heart? I don't know of a member that's raised children that have all their children perfect. As I said that I was looking at some members, I just saw them, and they're a good husband, a good wife, good parents. Their kids love God. Some are here this morning, but not all of them. So you can't reject your children. Never give up on your children. If your children deny the faith, they're still your child. How in the world can you take a little baby in the womb of a mother, and she carries her 9 months and gives birth, and then they don't measure up to what you believe? Doesn't mean you accept their sin. Doesn't mean that you accept whatever sin that they're in committing. But they're your children. And I promise you, if you'll ask me to pray for you, I will pray for you. For the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of, and here's my problem, a righteous man. I have to come to God, Lord, I want to come to you on behalf of these people, but am I righteous? Am I even near righteous? God, help me to have a pure heart, a clean heart, because I'm praying for these people right now. God can rebuild your broken lives. God can rebuild your shattered dreams. God can do it. Our Father, I thank you that you gave me a voice to preach today. I pray for our members. Lord, I love these people. And I pray for the many that are brokenhearted. Oh, so many different areas. Some got divorce papers this week. Some will receive them this week. Some they'll split up. Some will have a daughter or a son break up with their husband. Lord, I just know it's going to happen. And I pray that, God, they would turn to thee in prayer, trusting that, God, you can help them. I pray your blessing upon these dear people.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.